Radio. Oops.
Blog Talk Radio.
I always get in a hurry, miss the lady. Anyway, good evening. My name's Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom Visionary Vitality and Cowboy Wisdom Radio. Tonight, my guest is Dr. James Perdue. He's a professional motivational inspirational speaker and author of One More Play and three and some children's books. And James was a normal 19-year-old with expectations of playing professional baseball in the major leagues. He was attending Martin Methodist College in Pulaski, Tennessee on a baseball scholarship. He had an attitude of being invincible. After being in college for 2 weeks and playing one college game in the fall, unexpectedly, tragedy came a calling. On September 11th, 1983, James became a quadriplegic, dislocating three vertebrae in his neck from playing a football game. The doctor said, "James, I'm sorry, you'll never walk again, and you might be paralyzed from the neck down." Later, the doctor advised the family to put him in a nursing home, and he would be too much of a burden for them to take care of. Here's how Dr. James Perdue worked hard to achieve success as a teacher and a coach. He has been awarded Fox 17 Top Teacher Award of Week 2, Teacher of the Week 2005, Teacher of the Year 2002, as well as Coaches of the Year in 2006 and 2000. He received the Joe Andrews Award in 1995 and the Dr. Raymer Award in 1991 for overcoming adversity. Recently, he received his doctorate degree in May 2011 from Tennessee State University. His demonstration of not giving up and striving through major challenges is apparent. Dr. Perdue knows he can help others pass through the other side of tragedies to become the triumph and become a survivor of difficulties. It is our responsibility to help each other before tragedy hits. When unexpected suffering happens, we encourage, motivate, and inspire and help the hurting continue life. We start the baby steps. First, let's get past the first hour with help of our families and friends. Second, to find the strength in ourselves to get through the next day. Finally, to strive to live our lives to the fullest through determination and perseverance because we deserve it. James hasn't quit. Even sometimes it would have been easier, but instead he found a way to beat the odds. I know you can beat the odds too. What would you do if tragedy came knocking at your door? You could run, but you can't hide. Do you have what it takes to overcome adversity? Dr. James will give you the three P's that will encourage you to comfort your troubles and learn how to succeed in life as well in business. And without any further ado, I want to welcome Dr. James Perdue to the show. Welcome, James.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate you having me on tonight.
Well, it's my honor and privilege, but you said a lot in there, but I want to talk about the three P's. And then I want to talk about your puppy dog and your children's books. But what is the three P's that it takes for people to expand through life, do you feel, James?
Here in the last year, it seems like it takes and readjust those every now and again. But the main three to me right now is you need to find your purpose in life. Find out what you need to be doing that's going to satisfy you. You know, you hear those saying, if you can find a job that you like doing, whether you got paid for it or not, that's where you need to be. And so same thing with your purpose. Find out what you need to do to help other people, to help yourself, help your family, or whatnot. And then, again, from all there, set goals, plans, guidelines to make sure you follow those, your purpose, okay? Then number two, I believe you've got to have partners, and I don't mean just your husband or wife or girlfriend, boyfriend, or it's just going to be more than one other person helping. Again, it may be a doctor, maybe a psychologist, maybe a best friend, it may be a spouse, maybe a children, maybe somebody that you know that you can go to that's going to help you. You know, we've got those friends out there that no matter what we say, they're going to agree with you. and you know it's not really true, but it makes your self-esteem feel good. But then you got that other friend, you know they're going to point blank tell you, that's not right, and they're going to put you back where you belong in your place. So those two different friends, you need one to build your self-esteem up, and you need one that's going to point blank tell you like it is. And then the third thing, you just always got to persevere, be persistent. You've got to always move forward. Again, even if you're moving forward at a snail's pace, it's going forward. You don't have to run 100 miles an hour to get where you're going, and just sit back and enjoy the ride and go from there.
And Dr. James's website is jamesperdusespeaks.com, and you get to see a picture of Ricardo and James sitting there together. He looks like a character. He looks more human than some of us.
Actually, when I went down to Orlando to get him, they let a couple of dogs play at a time. I got to work with three or four dogs, and he was one of them. Then they was letting us watch them play. There was nine families getting a dog down there during that time, and so they would let three or four play at a time, put them up and get a couple more out to play, put them up and get a couple. Well, when it was time to let Ricardo out to play, he went running down the other end. He bowled over like two or three of them. Now, not that I condone bullying in the playground, but Ricardo got put back in his kennel, and I said, that's the one I want right there, full of self-confidence.
I love to watch puppies or any baby animal play. But you also, James, has got some children's books with Ricardo. Never Fear, Ricardo is Here. Can My Son Pet Your Dog and Have a Merry Ricardo Christmas. Tell people about these books, and it's on your website, jamesperdusespeaks.com.
Ricardo, I just started thinking, you know, he's been more than just a service dog to me. When we go to this one certain store, I mean, everybody just lights up from it. And I just one time started thinking, well, I wonder if I can put a few children's books together and help out other children start learning about disabilities and service dogs and stuff. And so, you know, because I was looking on the bookshelves at the store, you know, you got your Cinderella's, you got your Doro, you've got your, all them other books, I can't even think of them. But I was going, rarely are there any books about any type of disability. I was thinking, well, I could corner the market here if I do some of these, and it would educate the children as they're growing up about some of these disabilities. So the first book, Never Fear, Ricardo is Here. He helps a boy in a wheelchair play baseball. The boy, he wanted to play baseball. He liked playing baseball. He could hit off a tee, but he couldn't run the bases, or if he's in the field, he couldn't get the ball. So his mother finds out about this dog that helps people in wheelchairs. So Ricardo and this boy, and actually the boy's name is James, and they meet, and then you see Ricardo chasing the ball on the ball field, and James is playing, and at the end of the story, Ricardo's doing his Superman pose. He's pulling his chest open and has a big R on his chest because he's over to James.
You can also get – oops, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say in the second book was Can My Son Pet Your Dog? We were at the store. This is a true story. A woman come up and asked, can my son pet your dog? And I said, sure. And I had Ricardo get his front paws on my lap so the boy could reach from the buggy. The boy then pointed at Ricardo and said, dog. Well, I looked at mother. She started crying. I put Ricardo on the floor and said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't know what he did. She said, no, no, no. And again, this is a true story. He said, no, not you or the dog. He said, my son is autistic. That's the first word I heard him say. And the boy had to been 3, maybe 4 years old. And so we went on and made a book about that one. And to me, autism, when we're trying to teach them stuff, it goes to show that they're comprehending what we're teaching them. They just can't get it out for some reason sometimes. I mean, he knew Ricardo was a dog. He didn't call him a cat. He didn't call him a doorknob. He didn't call him a car wash. He called him a dog. So they're comprehending what we're teaching. They're just having a hard time getting it out. And then, of course, the third one, just a old Christmas book. We based it on the poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And Ricardo, in the poem, gets to meet Santa Claus and Rudolph and helps pass out the gifts and has his little Christmas spread to eat at the end. So.
And, you know, How are the animals the best teacher for to open kids up, or even human beings or grown-ups up, do you feel, James?
I think one thing is they're not intimidating. Of course, depending on what dog you're trying to use, but you wouldn't use an intimidating dog, but they're not intimidating. They're there to get pleased by you rubbing them. They want to be just beside you. And so these people that are fearful of stuff, they can open up to this dog where they may not be able to say something to a human. And I think it's just the unconditional love that the dog showed. One book I'm working on is Ricardo. Actually, he spent 18 months in the Mississippi prison system. One of the prisoners puppy raised him in Mississippi. And so I want to do a little book about, even though some people may mistake, still benefit and help people in society by, and then explain how Ricardo went through them and became, you know, to the boy in the wheelchair and like that. And so it's another way of helping other people understand things.
And
I was saying, one of the prisoners, I saw a documentary, and one of the prisoners was training the dog, and he told in the documentary that dog gave him that unconditional love that he never got from his mom and dad when he was growing up. And so, yeah, so I believe the unconditional love that they show for us, again, the non-intimidation factor, and again, it gives them a chance to open up.
Now, your book, One More Play, it's on Amazon.com. Now, if I was choosing to read that book, what is one thing I would come away from that book, do you feel, that would expand my life?
The main thing I would think is look at the tragedies he went through, and not only having a spinal cord injury from playing football, but there's other tragedies that happened through the book, and it just didn't stop. And even when I did try to attempt suicide, for some reason my body fought. And, of course, God knew it wasn't time for me to go. And, again, not giving up, even though I was trying to, just to show you that, you know, I'm human. We all have tragedies, that we can still have a good life if we put forth into it.
And, you know, that's true. But how, you know, James, that opens up this question for me. How have we been taught to look at everything in a negative way?
And that's a good question. To me, it seems like there's more negative people out there than positive people. And even days I catch myself, you know, saying negative stuff at home when things go wrong. And, man, I don't know why we're taught that. We ought to be taught teaching each other and teaching our children growing positive outputs. I mean, we need to be teaching them the silver lining. You know, yes, I'm sorry that Grandpa may have passed away, but just think about the good things that he did for you as you growing up and what he did to help you, you know, to become the young man or young woman you are. And we ought to be just encouraging and providing positivity for everybody, for all of us. But I don't know why. Look at the news every night. Most of it's negative stuff. And for some reason, the news knows people are going to watch what happened bad today. And that's sad. One time in our newspaper here where I live, we had a young African-American man that graduated from West Point, second in his class. I mean, you're talking number two of West Point graduating. Our newspaper buried that story in the back and had on the front page a woman that had a car wreck. And I thought that was sad.
Well, you know, here's what's the sad thing. Bad news sells. Good news don't sell.
Exactly, and it shouldn't be that way, but you're right.
James, this question come to me on that. Do you feel people don't believe there is good in the world?
I think there may be, they hope there's good in the world, but they haven't experienced a whole lot of it. That they've experienced more negatives than goods, possibly. And so they're going, it's out there, but I'll never see it because they've experienced too much. And they need to just continue going forward And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, the odds are against that it won't. So.
And that's true. And here's the thing. Dave, we have been compared and beat down since childhood, and they thought it was to motivate us. But do you feel the way they compare us and do things with others, that leaves a permanent scar in the inside that has to almost be opened back up and drained of the pain?
Yes, I think so. And it, to me, it's sad when you hear these stories. And, of course, it's tragedy, you know, that, I don't know, a 17-year-old kills his parents. And he's going to be locked up for most of his rest of his life, basically. But he killed them because they were beating him or sexually doing something to him. He got tired of it. And we're throwing this kid away. And I think that's wrong. I understand what he did was wrong. But he was driven to do this because of the negatives. If you go back and look at, you know, talk about dogs again, they have learned that if you beat a dog, you're not going to get the same results as if you do positive reinforcements with him. And same thing ought to be with children. If they need positive reinforcement for a dog, that means our children, they need positive reinforcements.
And, you know, the thing is sometimes kids do things wrong just to get attention. Do you feel that?
I think they've been conditioned to do that. They know that the only way they're going to get mom and dad to talk to them is if they do something wrong and mom and dad are yelling at them. I think they've been conditioned into it. When I first started teaching, I remember getting mad at a couple of students, and I remember raising my voice. And after about the third year, I'm going, you know, one, all it is blowing my blood pressure out of whack. But I was going, these kids that are acting out like that, they're probably have heard mom and dad yelling since they've been out of bed, got on the bus and been yelled at the bus. While they're in the gym waiting to go to class, they're being yelled at. Then they get into class and they're yelled at. So I started thinking, instead of always yelling and raising my blood pressure, I started telling them they're going to move their desk and they're going to share my desk, my teacher's desk with me, and I get to know them, and I'll go, hey, I can't write on the board. You go write this on the board for me. And then I would give them responsibilities and then teach them to be responsible for what they're doing. And I got more out of children that way than I did if I yelled at them. It took me 2 years, 3 years to learn that. But, yeah, finally I learned that.
Yeah. And, James, when we start in the childhood and we get to school, and you get a teacher, you know, teachers have emotions, and kids can feel when the teacher doesn't like them and things. But how is the teacher and the parents actually teaching that kid the shyness because they ain't looking at him as an individual, do you feel?
You see, that's a difficult question, too. Even though we're supposed to teach these kids individuality, that they need to be with what they want to do growing up. But then you have the rules that they can't dress a certain way or they can't have a certain haircut. And then so it's, you know, you're compromising in one way to give them the individuality, but then they can't do it because of the rules. So I'm not too sure about how to correct any of that.
You just hit the answer. It's the rules that we've been taught. So we learn to be ruled through rules. Do you feel that?
Yes. So, and then, you know, as a teacher, if I give in to let them try to express themselves in my classroom, but then to go to another classroom and try to express themselves, they get in trouble. And so now they're confused. Why am I allowed to in one class, but I'm not allowed to in this class? And so, you know, you got your inconsistency with teachers as well.
But haven't we been taught inconsistency through history, just kind of, you know, through since the beginning of time to be inconsistent so people never really understand the value of themselves, do you think, James?
That could be. I haven't thought of it that way, but it could be, yeah, that way. I don't know. It just makes other people seem more superior for the ones that do figure it out, I guess.
Because, you know, James, this is, you know, I've looked at this, and I'm going to ask you, you're the teacher. You know, if you read history, James, it's the same events, just different players. Do you feel that, or am I looking at the glass half empty?
No, you're right, because, and I forgot who said this, but they said if we don't learn from our history, history is going to repeat itself. And, yeah, you just keep reading. It's all the same. They're all the same arguments. But like you said, the players are different. We're still not learning from that. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Okay. And also, James, with Ricardo and you, you're sitting there, you know, you're in your wheelchair and you're sitting there, but you're giving people a positive and a forward-looking presentation. How does that allow kids that are, you know, different? You know, we don't look at people's individuality. If they don't fit into what we think, they're different and then they're bad. But how does you and Ricardo actually open kids up and allow them to see their own individuality, do you think?
Again, I think it goes back to, because Ricardo is so, you know, unconditional loving and not the non-threatening. I've seen several kids, you know, at this certain store, and first they want to pet him, and mother says, oh, no, you can't, he's a working dog. But when I hear mother say that, I'll go, well, ma'am, I don't mind, so he can pet this one. And then they'll come over, and then they want to ask questions, learn some things, and then mother says thank you when they leave. And I think the kids, they want to learn. They're inquisitive. They want to know why things are like it is. But sometimes parents don't allow it. There was one time I was pushing it at the store, and I reached down to go push my wheelchair, and I felt a hand on my wheel. And I looked down there, and there's this little child pushing my wheelchair with me, putting his hand on the wheel pushing. And all of a sudden, mother yanked that child back, and he says, I'm sorry, sir, and then scolded that child about touching my wheelchair and said, he'll never do that again. I said, well, yeah, I guess so, ma'am. I said, the way you scold him, he's going to think I'm a monster and he's going to run away from me now. I said, he didn't do anything. He was just inquisitive, wanted to learn. But parents are afraid to accept the way things are sometimes. I say parents, adults. And, you know, they're already set in their ways. So we need to reach these younger ones to get those minds opened up now.
You know, James, you just hit a subject that we could probably talk on for probably three years and never stop. How do you feel the parents today have never matured into being parents and they're still selfish and still children because they never expanded beyond 5 years old?
I got an example of that. I'm writing on my blog, neither tonight or tomorrow. Last week I went to our AAA baseball team and went and watched the game, and right below me I saw this woman taking her cell phone and videotaping this other woman, and she was laughing at this woman. This other woman was heavy set and she was crocheting during the game. And so the woman was videotaping and making fun of this woman and sending her picture out on Facebook with negative comments, and I'm thinking, you're the reason why your child is a bully. You're the reason why your child doesn't understand, because you haven't outgrown the maturity, like you said, the maturity to accept what's not perfect. And she, it burnt me up so bad. And I didn't want to say anything to the other woman because I don't want to embarrass her. But that woman, the prime example, is why the children are bullies today, because of the way mama hadn't grown up and she was still bullying as an adult.
Isn't bullying to me, and I'm going to ask your opinion now that you brought it up, isn't bullying an insecurity and a fear and being scared to admit who you are?
Exactly. I agree with that. And the reason they bully is to make themselves feel better about themselves. Yeah, they're insecure, but they don't want no one to know it. So to get the focus off their insecurity, they'll get other people focused on something negative to make them look good.
And then, you know, you get all their friends and they're all the hypocrites of what somebody else is doing, and they're afraid of life themselves.
I'm sorry, I didn't
feel that
part.
you know, they make fun of other people because they're afraid to admit their own insecurities. But when you're making fun of somebody else, you're really making fun of yourself. And you know what would be interesting, James? I was just wondering about that lady that was taking the pictures. How could that be her in a few years? Because she is actually invited into her life.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was sitting there watching her taking these pictures and videotaping this other woman again. She was overweight, but she seemed she was having a good time at the park, even though she was crocheting. She enjoyed being there with her husband. But the woman who was taking the pictures, I was looking at her and going, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you're not a 10 on a 10 scale of great, you know, just by looking at you. And but I wouldn't make fun of her. But she, yes, but yes, it's the reason that some of these adults are acting, like you said, immature about things is why their children go to class and they're bullies. And it's not the only reason, but it's one point.
But, James, that lady sitting there crocheting might be there because her husband wanted to go, and she had no willingness to go.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the time what they did what each other, what the other one wants, desired. Do you feel that, maybe?
Oh, yeah. They do the compromising, whether they want to or not, but then instead of really compromising for the good, the compromising for the bad just to make themselves have a good time now.
And James, if somebody wanted to hire you for speaking, they can go to JamesPurdueSpeaks.com and fill out the information. And James, are you available to speak all the time?
Yes. I get a schedule together. I got a schedule and just say, get a hold of me and we can work something out, yes. I travel and
you know, go ahead.
Oh, as you say, and I travel. Just a few weeks ago, went to Arkansas and been to Orlando, and so, yep. So I'm open to travel.
And if you go to Dr. JamesPurdueSpeaks.com, you're going to see him on Fox News 17 right there. And, you know, James, you got a bright smile and a lot of energy. But when you go to speak, do you take Ricardo up there with you so you're both there, or how do you do this?
Oh, yeah, I take him with me. He steals the limelight when I bring him out. So, yeah, he's part of my partners, you know. I have my brother help me with things. My mom helps me with things. Again, doctors, psychologists, other friends. And then I have Ricardo. He's one of my partners, and so he's part of my speech, yes.
He's probably one they relate to the most.
I tell you what, he just steals the shows with him and everything, and everybody feels good when they get to play with him.
They do. And what kind of dog is he, if you don't mind me asking?
He's a black lab.
What was that?
A black lab. Laboratory retriever.
Yeah, they're a very smart dog, aren't they?
I just saw on the news last week, I think it was, that for 23 years in a row, the labs have been voted as the best liked dogs.
Yeah, they got a sense of humor. And James, your book is One More Play available on Amazon. Are your children's books available on Amazon? And how can you get people to go to schools? Do you go to schools and things like that with your children's books or daycares, or what do you do with them?
Yeah, I carry them with me. They're on Amazon as well. Of course, they're on my website there on the front page. But, yeah, I carry them with me. And, again, it's when these children come up and want to pet Ricardo, then I kind of tell them that, hey, I got this children book too. And then they go to mother, and then mother wants to buy it because the child got to meet the dog that's in the book.
He's a movie star.
I have Ricardo's signature inside the book too. I got a paw print.
Yeah.
So for Ricardo's signature.
Oh, yeah, with a paw print?
Yeah.
That's neat. And anyway, Jim, so really what I'm hearing you say, it's Ricardo and James, not James and Ricardo.
Exactly. That's right. Someone told me a long time ago. Yeah, someone told me a long time ago, it's like having a baby. They want to say hi to the baby, then they ask mom and dad how they're doing. So same thing. They want to find out Ricardo, then find out about me.
He keeps us in our place, in your place, huh, James?
That's right.
Oh, they're just great animals. But James, with all the things in your life and everything that's happened, what do you feel that if somebody was entering into this kind of situation, what's one thing that would really open them up and really allow them to expand out of the doldrums of it and into the bliss, as bliss as they can get?
Yeah, of the three P's, I tell everybody they need the strong family support. That's the main thing. If it wasn't for my mom, my brothers, and other friends particularly too, but if, you know, my mom and brothers, they're the ones from the very beginning. If it wasn't for their strong support, now we've had bad times since I've been in a wheelchair, but they do positive stuff to help me. They encourage me to go out and do the next thing, and they support me to do whatever I'm doing. But if, you got to have a strong family support to be able to get you to that next level.
And, you know, and you got to have people that are patient also. Ain't that though, all the way through life, you need people with patience?
Yes. And it took me, after getting in a wheelchair, it took me a while to figure out the patience. But yeah, you got to have people that are patient with you, and you got to learn to be patient as well.
Yeah. And, you know, if I could be born with one thing, that's the one I'd want. Desire. How about you?
One of the things, if I could do it all over again, I would learn the patience first thing and then develop around it.
Me too. 100%. Because you're going to learn it through life. Do you feel that, James?
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to use it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's too many times I know that I flew off my handle without thinking first. And then after thinking it, or after sleeping over, you know, the next morning, and then realize I overreacted. So, yeah, I wish I'd learned the patience a long time ago.
Me too. It has saved me a lot of humble pie.
That's right.
Anyway, James, we're out of time, and the book is One More Play, available on Amazon, and it's also available on James's website at jamesproducespeaks.com. And so, James, without any further ado, give the people some wisdom, and I'll close out the show, and we will have James back again, because the wisdom James puts forth expands your life.
Thank you, Rob. I'd like to leave people with Bear Bryant, one of his quotes. It's not the will to win, it's the will to prepare to win is how he was successful. So when you prepare yourself for success, or prepare yourself for when tragedy comes, then you're ready to win from there.
Yeah, old Bear Bryant, they don't make them like him much anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
You know, speaking of him, I was listening to one of his ball players, and he had a quote also. He says, hit that player as hard as you can, pick him up, shake his hand, and says, I'll be back.
That's right.
And, you know, I could talk about Bear Bryant. I watched that Alabama-Nebraska football game when they went back and forth. That was a football game.
Yeah. Another thing that Bear Bryant, one of them, says is, I never lost a game. I just ran out of time.
And ain't that the way life is?
Uh-huh. Yeah, time's going to run out before you know it.
Yeah. But anyway, James, thank you very much for being here. And if you go to his website, you'll see Ricardo and him, but you're also going to see a very wise man to expand your life. And thank you, James, and good night, everybody.